among the texts. Why should any of us care that you don't care? Why even bring it up? I'm an opinion host. I'm giving opinions, including to stir it up a little bit, to go against the grain, to get people going, just like this individual does.
Not me.
The queen.
I stay in my lane. I try to keep my head down and get my work done. I don't make no waves. I don't cause no problems for nobody.
Okay, we're going to get to your waves in a second. But let's get to my guy, Daniel. And let's just lay out the incredible progress Daniel and also your two other autistic kids have made. But let's
It's not about them right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say.
It's not about
today
them.
Is about Daniel.
Yes, it is.
Take people through the progression.
Daniel was 4.5 years old, nonverbal, in a pamper, no eye contact, unable to follow simple commands. The people at the Lovas Institute, the ABA therapy that we were getting for him and the other two kids, pulled me into a meeting and said, we cannot justify to the insurance that this therapy is working. We're going to have to pull the services out of the home because
that's soul crushing.
In 3 years, the needle has not. They got to Daniel when he was 18 months old, and at 4.5 years old, he had made no progress. I still have his autism evaluation at 4.5 years old. I'm about to cry, and I don't cry. It said he had no functional language. This is not something that I wrote down. This is something that was written up, a 18-page report by Dr. Rebecca Hudock at the University of Minnesota Voyager Autism Clinic. She said at 4.5 years old, my autistic child Daniel in 2019 had no functional language.
You cried that day.
Did I cry?
I will be honest. There have been many days with Quentin where I'm normally not a crier, but I was crying, and we've had some days like that too.
That just
blows you away.
I remember going in my closet and closing the door and praying and asking God to just please help my child. I was like, I don't know what you're going to do, Lord, but I need a miracle, because if these people pull out of the house, he's not going to get services. He's not going to get better. I need your help. And that's when that boy came up to me while I was washing dishes the very next day. And he starts singing Old Town Road.
Mm-hmm.
And we start using music to teach him. Fast forward to 2024. He is in fourth grade. He is doing math on a 10th grade level.
That's amazing.
Reading on a 9th grade level. So I tell people all the time, don't ever give up hope. I watch you and Quentin and how you never give up. You keep going. You keep pressing. You keep pushing. You keep bringing him. I was so excited that you brought him to my book giveaways and my son's graduation party. You know, a lot of times when parents have kids with special needs, you know, it's just so easy to say, you know what, I'm just going to give up. We're just going to stay in the house. We're not going outside.
Right.
I'm going to let the school handle it. But we got to keep pressing. And I see it in your son. I see it in my son and so many other parents who have kids with autism. Do not let these people tell you what your kids cannot do. Do not give up, because things can and oftentimes will get better, whether it is slightly better or by leaps and bounds. If you just keep pressing and praying, you're going to see some results.
Well, it's really a metaphor for all of life, too, right? You know, it resonates with me so much because my love for you, how much I love the kids, because I see the kids often because you take them everywhere. Often because, Dave, you also require Sean to come with you or else
yes.
He would escape.
He would get away, and we don't want that.
And then knowing all the therapies that Q's had. So it just warms my heart. But for all of us in different aspects of our life, when individuals tell you you've maxed out, that's it. That is as far as you're going to go.
Ain't going to get no better.
Professionally, personally, you name it. And sadly, sometimes these individuals are right. Okay? There are many ways for us to say, I heard you. I heard it, but I'm going to keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to keep going, and maybe I will not eclipse what you said, but maybe you will.
And maybe
you will blow it away like Daniel has destroyed that report.
Okay, so.
I mean, I might go back to those folks and say, have I introduced you to my son Daniel here? Can I read this report? You know.
No functional language. Don't even think about it. Don't worry about it. It's not going to ever get any better. Put him in a class with deaf kids so that he can learn sign language because he's never going to talk. I said, well, he's 4 years old now. What can you do? We can put him in a group home when he turns 14 because there's nothing that we're going to do for your child that's going to work. Okay. Praying, pressing, not giving up, lots of therapy. He starts singing. He starts talking. Fast forward to 2024. On Monday, his teacher sends out a note to all the fourth grade parents to say that fourth graders can now be on student council.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at Daniel. I said, would you like to be on student council? He said, sure. I said, okay, well, you got to write a speech. So him and his sister went in another room. They wrote a speech. And he memorized that speech. And so his mama, because, you know, I'm an extra day, I bought a shirt that said, vote for me.
Shocking.
Guys, that was it.
It says, vote for me. Right. I didn't put his face on it because I didn't want to seem like we were, you know, trying to get an advantage over the other
children. I figured you'd put your face on it, to be honest.
I figured on the back it's going to say, or else she's going to show up. And boom, there she is.
Yeah. And so he got in class with microphone. He had a speech memorized.
Well, it's on Twitter.
It's on Twitter.
I retweeted it. You can check it out.
It's amazing. He delivered his speech to the normal developing fourth grade classroom. And they overwhelmingly voted for him to be on council.
That is so good.
First autistic child at Great Cloud Elementary School to be on a student council.
Bravo.
Woo!
You know, you,
hallelujah,
Daniel, and everybody that has a heart should be proud. Let's talk about Shaletta's latest column, Stirring It Up.
Uh-uh, not me.
At the Star Tribune.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right. I would say we should be talking about, you know, Halloween, Dave. Shaletta just told me we need to talk Christmas.
We got to talk about Christmas because at 10 o'clock this morning, the Steels Family Christmas Show tickets went on sale. Now, it's been a couple of years since the Steels had their annual traditional Christmas show, and it is back. And the tickets went on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. At 10:01, I had my tickets. I have literally not, I called my mama. I said, I'm not coming to Houston for Christmas because I'm going to see Javita, Geraldine, Billy, JD, and Fred Steele put on this Christmas show. Have you heard the Steele sing?
I have.
Okay.
Number of times.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay. It don't get no better.
Where are they performing?
I don't know. I just bought my ticket.
Okay, you just bought your tickets.
But there's a story on Odyssey because I was so excited, I wrote a story. It's on WCCORadio.com. There's a link where you can buy your tickets. But they went on sale. There's 2 days. There's Saturday, I think the 21st at 7 p.m. And then the Sunday, which we're going to, the Sunday at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to church, have something to eat, go see the Steels. It's been like 3 or 4 years.
I'm not sure you should say we because Sean and the kids may be in Houston.
No.
Dave?
No. No, we are going to see the Steels. I bought six tickets.
You might mean there's going to be six bodies.
Yeah. the other five may not be Brundage family members.
This is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship. We are going to see the Steels.
You see what happens when one member of the dictatorship gets a little freedom. He remembers what the dictator
Andrew
was like.
Andrew has not called me. He doesn't return my text. He doesn't return. I thought his phone was cut off. I called Sean. I was like, hey, call Andrew. Make sure his phone is not cut off.
Just go back to the last 7-8 years of our appearances.
To me.
Yeah.
And Sean called and he picked up right away. My mama called. He picks up right away. His godparents call. He picks up right away. The person paying the tuition is calling.
Mm-hmm. Can't imagine why he's not calling.
I don't know.
Can't,
I tell you what.
Why are so many Republicans going with Kamala? You wrote about this.
I wrote about
Star
this.
Tribune,
Star Tribune.
Community Voices. What? Oh, like I saw Jim Acosta with your guy, Corey Lewandowski. Right? Two guys who can be fairly annoying, both of them. Lewandowski wins the championship, but it's kind of close. And he kept saying, Kamala.
Mm.
Kamala.
Mm.
Kamala. And Acosta's like, why can't you just say Kamala? And it's intentional. It is omnipresent. And it's dehumanizing to take someone's name and to have, I can't imagine which overtones they're trying to put out there. You know, and I get some people, it can be a foible, right? Some people can make a mistake. But when the same individuals do it over and over and over and
after
again,
being corrected, it's intentional.
Then it's intentional, and there's a method to it, and that method is gross.
And we have to say the R word. It's racist.
Yes, it is.
If you
Without
can say
a doubt.
Schwarzenegger,
yes,
Djokovic, and Navratilova, you can say Kamala.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
It's not.
And so the Star Tribune, I'm a columnist with the Star Tribune. I don't know if I mentioned that on the show.
Did
before.
You mention that, Dave? Do we have that in our notes?
But they pursued me, begged me, asked me several times, came to me with several contracts, which I turned down and made them redo them and give me more money.
Shocker.
You know, they ask, you know, if you write columns, that it has to have a local angle. And so I said, I want to write something about Donald Trump and a lot of Republicans intentionally mispronouncing Kamala Harris's name. It's racist, is insulting, it is intentional, and it needs to be brought to light. And I don't think anybody's talking about it the way it needs to be talked about. And I was like, oh, you got to find a local angle. And so the great Charles Haman, Hall of Fame, Minnesota broadcast journalist, covered women's sports here in the Twin Cities for the past 34 years for the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, and several other people that I talked to and said, hey, has anybody ever done this? Like, intentionally mispronounced black women's names? And they were like, oh, yeah, it's two sports guys. They used to do it. It was a bit. When black girls from North High School would go to the state championships, they would get the roster, and they would intentionally mispronounce their names, and people would call in, and they would all laugh about it. I'm like, oh, hell no.
See, now I have a different view of that.
Okay.
And
That's what I heard.
And I have massive respect for Charles.
Dave
has the same view as I.
Okay.
This show... and I have more respect for one of those individuals than anybody in town. And the other person has also had a great career. I think they were taking names from all aspects of the state.
Okay.
Including black voices, but also, Dave, you chime in, suburban voices. And more often than not, it was the spelling of the names, too. So I don't believe that was racist. I have a different perspective than what you've had to face in your life every single day than me, a white guy, Dave, a white guy. But there wasn't a time when I listened to that segment repeatedly where I thought this was only directed at black names and voices. You heard it a lot. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I heard names from black kids, white kids, whatever. It was to me, it was two old guys making fun of younger generations.
That's what I believe. I really do.
Okay. Well, when I talked to not just Charles Haman, but Faith Patterson Johnson, who was Minnesota High School Basketball Hall of Famer, she won four championships with North High School. She remembers it fondly. She remembers it not fondly, and how insulting it was that these people would get on the radio and mispronounce the names of the girls and make fun of it, and people would call in and laugh. And so I was like, this is my local tie-in to talk about this and how these women still, these are grown women, Dr. So-and-so, you know, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, they all still remember this and how it made them feel when they're at the height of their athletic career to be listening to the radio, waiting for somebody to talk about their stats or their accomplishments or whatever it is they were doing, only to listen and have somebody make fun of the name.
Yeah, I just have to jump in to reiterate. I heard, this is Suturine Royce. Okay, let's just say who it is. I heard that segment over and over and over again. And again, I'm a white guy. Okay, I'm not saying we all process things. And yes, there were names from players who most likely were black. But there also were players from the suburbs where you also could have diversity to it. I don't believe in any way it was direct that way. But I also get that people may feel differently when it was about themselves. I love you.
I love you, too.
We got to go.
I got a show tomorrow.
Seriously?
12 to 3. Make sure you tune in. The guests will be here. I don't know about me.
Yeah. See ya.